This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole deck of galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we're going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and threw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward, so grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. Anookshuk has what you're looking for. Anookshuk's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, Anookshuk delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, Anookshuk is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with Anookshuk Professional Dog Food. We're rolling. All right, this episode's going to drop right after the 4th of July. So I hope everyone had a great 4th. Unlike me, I had to work the weekend. Not thrilled about it, but it is what it is. But the time when this podcast drops, I'm going to be up in Wisconsin running dogs. So my first trip, actually, that's one state I have not hunted in. So I'm very excited to go make the trip, but I'm not looking forward to the drive. Like, I'm in that 12-hour range. I like, you know, 12 hours is a good, I can hack that on a day drive. The 16 and over-ish. So going to try to do the traveling at night because it's so hot during the day. Makes it easier on the dogs. I just don't know how old me's going to be able to stay awake. So I'll probably be occupying some rest stops or some areas to pull over and catch me a little shut-eye on the way up. But excited, I'm excited to go. And after the next episode, then hopefully you'll get to hear all about the hunt. And hopefully we have some good videos and stuff to post. So that's what's happening on What's Up Wednesday. So thank you guys for joining us. If you listen to the last two podcasts, I played a song called The Bearhound Man. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I think I mentioned it on the last podcast. And then I started getting all kinds of messages. You know, the artist and the title. Where can I find this? Artist and the title. Well, guys, I hope you're sitting down, because here you go. The artist is none other than Heath Hyatt. So I actually made the song. A little bit of help from AI. I put in some titles and some words, and AI generated the song. And then I used a music generator along with some of the podcast equipment to add the music. And the AI generator actually let me pick a voice, pick the type of music that I wanted to add to it. And bada bing, bada boom, there you go. You've got a song about a bear and a man. So anyway, I've had several people ask me. I've tried to send it to them, but it won't let me send it through Messenger, saying the file's too big. So here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to try to get that done. Hopefully by the time you listen to this podcast, it will be posted on YouTube. And I'm probably also going to post it on social media if I can. Like I said, this is new to me. I was fooling around one evening and ended up making that. So I'm going to try to put a video with it, and I'll post it to YouTube. So check out YouTube. Go to my channel, which don't have a lot of stuff on it. And guys, I apologize. This summer has been crazy. You know, here we are. When this drops, it'll be mid-July. And, you know, I told you guys, I'm back on the road filling in for the summer up until August. I have neglected some of my household duties. The yard looks like a hayfield. Not really, but really. You know, I'm trying to fish on my days off. I'm working. I mean, just this week alone, I work Monday, Tuesday. I was off Wednesday, actually. Got on the river for a little bit, caught a few fish. Fishing was a little tougher than I expected. A storm had went through, so, you know, it was post-front. But the fish I did catch, I catch several fish. Caught them in pockets. Like, if you caught one, you will catch 3, 4, 5 in that little pocket. And then you'd fish a stretch, and then it would kind of die down. And then you'd hit another little pocket, and you'd catch one, and then, you know, you'd end up with, you know, 4, 5, 6 fish. So fishing was tough. But so I did fish Wednesday, along with some other things. And actually, I recorded a podcast for Eric with I had him on a couple weeks ago. So it's a Nordic Tales and American Trails is the podcast. So go listen to that. I think it's going to be a part 2. And he actually did one with George, our buddy George Lambert. And it should finish up by the time this drops. But, yeah, I mean, yesterday I fished half a day, and then the other half a day I'm just trying to catch up, you know, doing things around the house so I can leave. And then Thursday, I ended up at the academy teaching. And then I worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then I had canine training Monday. And then here we are Monday night. And I'm off tomorrow and then leave Wednesday. So anyway, it's been busy. So I apologize. I am not the greatest at getting content. Like, I'm just not. It's hard for me to handle dogs and do the things that I want to do and hold a camera. So I apologize, but I'm working on it. You know, if I can get the girls to help me out, I mean, Maddie does help me a lot. She'll film some stuff for me, and hopefully on this trip, you know, Chelsea's going with me on the trip. So hopefully that'll work out. So let's go back to Monday to canine training. let's get this one. So Monday I worked and I had to go certify some dogs. So I worked my shift. I had the guys go ahead and set up the certification tracks. So we're doing tracking and article searches. So got the tracks done. I got back in my car and my phone rings, right? So Maddie is FaceTiming me. And I mean, she'll do that every once in a while, but when she does it, she's wanting to show me something. I'm like, what is she doing? So she's FaceTiming me. I pick up the phone and she goes, Dad, we have a little problem. And I'm like, okay, what's the issue? And she turns the phone and she points it down on the ground. And Chelsea is holding one of the pups down, which we call him Goofy. He's a spook pup. Spook and Maggie. Maggie's the black and tan female, that really nice female that I had that I let one of my buddies get. But so we call him Goofy, and Chelsea's holding him down, and I see tinsel all over him. And I'm like, what? You know, it's on the phone. It's at a distance. I can't tell what's going on. And Maddie's like, Dad, he's got two of your musky lures in him. And I'm like, how did that happen? So I carry buckets, and I hang my lures in the buckets. Well, my bucktails, if you guys know what that is, that's your spinner baits. And I have some really big ones. I mean, they're like 8-10 inches. A lot of them's double blades and double hooks, size 5 treble hooks, 5-aught treble hooks. Like, they're big. And that scoundrel, like, when I'm out on my boat, If I eat a snack or something or drink a Gatorade, I throw it down in the bucket. And when I get home, I'll take it out and throw it in the trash. Well, I had forgot to take a Snickers wrapper out. So during the bass tournaments, I take those buckets out of my boat because they just take up space, right? Well, I had set it beside the dog box, and I had turned it where the bucktails were on the outside of the bucket up in the corner so the dogs couldn't get to them. Well, he had got in it to get a Snickers wrapper out of the bucket. He had stuck his head down in it. And when he brought his head out, he caught one of those, the one bucktail in his lip. And then he stepped, that was on the top hook. And then he stepped on it and caught the second hook, the bottom hook, in his front. It would be like his wrist for us, caught it in there. So he double hooked himself on one. And then while he dumped the bucket over, he ended up with the second spinner bait. And this one was the Joe Booker, the Elvis, if you guys know what that is. Big double blade, 10 blades, size 10 blades, big spinner bait. And he hooked it in the back leg, right above his, it was right below his joint, right in his bottom of his hock. So he comes running through the yard. They hear the dogs go crazy. They run outside, and they have to grab him up to keep him from setting the hooks deeper and deeper. And then they're concerned about them getting hooked. So Maddie's like, Dad, what do we do? What do we do? And, you know, Chelsea's holding the dog down, trying to keep it calm. And I said, go up to the boat, get in my bucket, and get the Nip-X. So I've got some Nip-X cutters that are made for those big lures to cut the hooks on them. And I'm like, I'm 30 minutes out. I'm coming home. I'm on my way. So I shut down my end of the training side. I get in my car. I'm booking it home. Again, it takes me 30 minutes. I get home and they're standing outside, and I'm like, okay. And they're like, yeah, we got the hooks cut, but he's still got three barbs in him. I'm like, oh Lord. So here he comes running around the house. Well, not running, but he's limping. He's not putting that left rear down. And so I get him up and I'm like, well, where's the barbs? And so the one in his lip, you could roll his lip out and it was stuck in there pretty deep. And then the one in his front ankle wasn't horrible. So we basically took it. I mean, it's 9:30 at this point in time. So we take him in the basement, turn the lights on. Here's a shout out to Cajun. I got my Cajun blinder on and I turn it on. I feel like a vet. I feel like I'm operating at this point in time. But anyway, I was able to get the barb out of his lip. And then we was able to get the barb out of his front leg and his ankle. So the barb in the back leg, like, I don't see it sticking out. I don't know where it's at. So we pick him up, kind of get him where I can feel it. Well, I can feel the barb, and every time I touch it, he's yelping. But what happened is somehow it had got underneath the skin. And I'm like, did you cut this like too close? And they're like, no, like we cut it right up at the top of the hook set. So I went and got the spinner to look, and sure enough, they'd cut it. They couldn't have cut it any higher. So that whole hook was in his back leg. So I fool around with it for a minute, see if I can get it to come back out the hole. He is not having it. Like, it was not good. So I put him down and I text our good friend Garrett, like, come on, Garrett, help me out here. What do I need to do? So we get to texting back and forth, and he's just like, we'll push it through. And I'm like, ah. So I send him a video, and he's like, ooh, it's right there at them tendons. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. So anyway, trip to the vet Monday night. Garrett fixed him up in about 5 minutes, had to x-ray to see where which end was the point. And literally, we got it, numbed him up, pushed it right through, put him on some antibiotics. And I mean, he was there less than 20 minutes. Garrett did a fantastic job for us. But anyway, yeah. So, man, these dogs, it's always something. Like, yeah, maybe it was my fault for setting the bucket down. And I will say that Izzy, you know, my little trouble dog, I always have a trouble dog. It was Briggs, and he got through his phase, and now it's Iz. But I had the buckets inside in the basement in my feed room. So I have a big rack where I keep all my dog food stacked up. And then in the other corner, I have some pegboards and stuff where I keep my fishing lures and extra line and all the stuff. And my fishing poles are on the wall, and I had set the two buckets in. And she had went in there. She was in the basement something this winter, and she did the same thing. She run by there and hooked herself up on one of my topwater baits. But it was pretty easy. It poked pretty much through her, so I just cut the barb off and pulled it out, and it wasn't no big deal. But that's twice that these dogs have got in my bucket. So maybe I need to do something different. Them lures are expensive and they're dangerous. I mean, they're big. Like, you hook yourself with one of them, it's not an easy task. But so that was the excitement for this week or this past week. Moving on. All right, let's talk about the part two. So we talked about Smokey last week, and, you know, giving credit to dogs that kind of fly under the radar. So we're going to move on to Sam. All right, Sam, I did not raise Sam. I got Sam from a guy by the name of Burt Collins. And we were in Canada back in the early 2000s, and Burt had a couple dogs, but Sam and Star were the two dogs that I remember, and they were brother-sister littermates, and they were out of an old dog called Queen that Wendell Bond owned. And those dogs, Sam especially, stood out to me. He was always the dog that was with my old Frosty dog. And I can't tell you that he was a phenomenal dog at that time. I don't know. I hunted with him for a week, and we come back and hunted our season. Done a lot of running, not sure what they were running, and that's a group of dogs. I'm not just saying Sam. But he run from daylight till dark, and I'm like, So I don't know how it transpired. I don't remember. But Bert called me and was like, are you interested in buying Sam? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And I had told him before if he ever got rid of him. Well, he said, here's the deal. You're going to have to take both of them. I'm like, what? He's like, you got to buy Star and Sam. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, what do you want for him? And back then, I mean, you know, I didn't have a lot of money. This was before I started into a law enforcement career. And, you know, I liked the dog. And when he gave me the price, I'm like, I'm on my way. Like, I'm on my way over there right now. So I went over and picked up Star and Sam. And I don't remember what month it was, but I did take them to New York that summer. And Rodney ended up buying Star off of me. So he ended up with Star, and I ended up with Sam. And Sam was about two. They were about 2 years old when I got my hands on them. And Sam become one of those dogs that I would let Rodney or Anthony hunt during the summer for me, because, you know, their season comes in July and ours didn't come in back then until the last Saturday in August. So Rodney would always keep a dog or two for me and hunt them from July into October, because he would go to Maine and work for an outfitter up there. So I never sent Smokey. Smokey always stayed with me, but Sam and Cannon, which I'll talk about him next week, I would always let those guys, and Bob had Cannon for a while, but I would always let those guys keep the dogs and hunt them for me. Man, they were doing me a favor. So Rodney would take him to Maine, and then two years, I know for a fact, Anthony had him, Anthony O'Neill. I've had him on too. But Anthony would take him and hunt him. And Sam just ended up being, and I don't think I ever broke him too, but, you know, I got to thinking about that with Smokey too. Like, back then, I didn't have the means. Like, Fielder had given me an old shocking system, and it literally had the wires running through the collar. If you guys have been hunting long enough, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But a lot of those first models, they had the wires that basically were weaved in and out of the collar. And that was how they picked up a signal. I think I'd had that at one point in time, but them wires broke from usage and I didn't have anything. So if you didn't catch them in the track and, you know, do the correcting right there, I just didn't have the means to do it. So that played a lot of factor into, you know, my training and my, you know, the corrections. Like, it was just, sometimes it's just something you couldn't do, right? You just couldn't catch him or whatever. But he straightened himself out. He was not trashy by any means, but he straightened himself out pretty good and ended up being a really, really, really solid dog. And he was out of Little Dan. Little Dan was out of Big Dan. Big Dan was out of Beaver Lake Magic, right? And then he was at an old Queen dog, and I don't remember her lineage. I'd have to ask Wendell to get all that, but they were out some really, really good dogs. And Sam was ugly. Holy cow. You know, he was a coarse haired dog, had a kind of a bush tail to him, almost like a running dog. Long legged, good deep chest carried down underneath the elbows of his front legs. Little cow hocked in the back. But it never, you know, back then, I can't say that I paid a whole lot of attention. That was right in the Smokey era. But that dog could run all day long. And I mean run all day. And run, I mean not like move, could move. So Sam was a great dog for me and ended up, I mean, treed numerous bear for me. Was always, again, these dogs were always in the right place at the right time. You didn't have to worry about them. And I wonder how sometimes they get put on the back burner. So I'll tell you a couple stories about Sam. So Anthony had Sam for one summer, and he treed a sow and two cubs. And before Anthony could get in there and get the dogs tied up, and I don't remember what, he may have had Sam and Clyde at the time, because I let him keep Clyde and hunt him some too. But the sow come down back down the tree, and he couldn't get his hands on Sam. And, of course, there was a tussle at the tree. and Sam got cut. You know, it was almost like you took a razor blade and just kind of, you know, peeled the skin back, right? Nothing in the flesh, or nothing in the meat or anything like that. But Anthony felt like, he's like, I need to go get this fixed. So he called me and said, hey, just so you know, Sam got opened up and I'm going to take him to the vet. I'm like, okay, no worries. So they took him to the vet to have him stapled up. So they had to shave him down and everything. Well, the vet x-rayed him and I don't remember why. So Anthony calls me and he says, hey, you know, your dog's been shot. And I'm like, what? He was like, the vet x-rayed Sam and his back end was burned up with buckshot. Not, this was an old, right? This didn't happen then, but the dog had buckshot on him. I mean, you'd have never known that if you hadn't took him to the vet and had him x-rayed. And with his coarse hair, like, I don't know that it happened with me. I don't know if it happened with Bert. But it's interesting to know that the dog, you know, had been shot at some point in time. And I honestly think Sam was one of those dogs that if you corrected him, he taught me one of my first lessons on discipline. If you corrected him and it was unfair, which means it was too harsh, too much, too long, Sam would, he would give you that, that's all right, that's enough. I've taken what I need and that's enough. And I learned then that sometimes you don't need to do all this. But I kind of wonder now, and I got to thinking about this years ago, but I wonder if he didn't have a run-in with a landowner or something, some of that type. And that's why he was a little bit gnarly like that with discipline. I'd never really disciplined him. Like I just didn't. And I don't remember why he did that the first time. It was in the pen. And I think what he had done is he had actually tried to run out on me and I grabbed him by the collar, yanked him up and was putting him back in the collar. And I had him napped up pretty tight and he'd give me that, you know, that's enough. You know, that's that warning sign from a dog, right? So learning that behavior. But yeah, Sam treated a lot of bear for Anthony. Rodney took him to Maine a lot and treat a lot of bear. And then I would get him back in December. And I mean, I can't tell you the amount of bear that dog caught by himself. I know in New York, it was numerous bear that he would get split off and have one by himself, or he would get out of pocket and they would tree a bear and then they'd go find him. And he wasn't an independent dog either. So don't take it that way. Like he was very much a team player and a pack dog, and you know, but he if he was off by himself, you could just about lay your money on the table that he was going to have a bear. But Sam was, I've had two dogs in my career that were actually killed by a bear. And Sam was my first. And we had caught it was 325 pounds, I'll tell you exactly. And it was in December, it was in late December, actually December 23rd, right before Christmas Eve. And there was a skid, there was a snow on, but the top of the snow had frozen. And you guys that hunt in that type of weather kind of know that the dogs can't get their toenails in to get a good grasp on it. But the older Sam got, and I noticed this about 6 years old, but the older he got, the rougher he got on a bear. Like if he could tackle it, he was going to. And he wasn't like that at a younger age. It was as he got older and older. So Sam was 8 years old, and we had found a track in the snow, put on it. They run it over the mountain, brought it up, got in some ledges, and the dogs popped out and started coming back across the mountain. And we were able to it, this was actually 2008. I can tell you exactly, December 2008. The bear come back across the mountain. We were able to harvest the bear it was on the ground. Like I said, it was 325, 327 pounds, I think, to be exact. And all my dogs were there, Smokey, Ring, Belle, Clyde. But Sam wasn't. And I'm like, So I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. Like, we were just 150 yards from the road, so we got the bear to the truck. I got all the dogs loaded up, and I got, you know, got the old beep beep out, and I'm trying to track him. And I mean, I got a really good signal, beep 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 beep, and I'm like, okay. So I walk over the edge of the mountain, and I'm hollering and hooping, and like it's not gaining, it's not losing. I don't know, and I'm like, well, he must be off the mountain. So I get in, you know, everybody's done. I get the truck and I drive around. Scotty Woods was with me on this actually. I drive around the mountain and I come up an old dead end road, and I get in there and I put the tracker on, and it's beep, 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 beep. I mean, it's a good signal. And I'm like, okay, where's he at? So anyway, I fooled around there for an hour or more, nothing. So I drive right back around. And I mean, it takes me a good hour to drive around. So I drive back around to the top of the mountain. And at this point in time, I'm like, I'm just going to walk down. And if I end up off the mountain, just come and pick me up. That's what we were going to do. So I start down off the mountain. We get underneath those ledges. There's actually a little cliff there. And Sam's laying there. And I'm like, oh. So I go down there. And I mean, he's, you know, he's alert. I'm shaking a little bit. And so I pick him up. And I literally have to carry him back up the mountain. And Scotty helped me with this. I mean, because that's not an easy task, carrying a 70-pound dog up the side of the north side of the mountain when it's steep as it can be. So we put him in the truck, put him in the floorboard, turn the heater on, and take him to the vet. She x-rays him immediately. She goes, nothing's broke. And I'm like, okay, we're in good shape. So the next morning, my phone rings about 7:15, and Doc says, Heath says, I got some bad news. And I'm like, something's broke, ain't it? And she's like, no. She's like, he didn't make it through the night. So basically he got busted up inside. And that's those injuries that you can't see them. Like, you can't see them. And both dogs that I've had that has passed away, that has happened. The second dog that I had that happened to was Ben, our good Ben Galloway. I was hunting one of his young dogs out of my stuff. And the same thing. Dog got actually loaded up in the truck, went home, ate half his food, and found him the next morning, and the same thing. So that's stuff that I don't like. I don't care for that stuff. You know, I hate it. And it, you know, I say this all the time, man, when you turn a hound loose chasing a big game like that, you never know if you're going to see him again. Like, you just don't. And, you know, that's a risk we take. But anyway, Sam died on December 23rd, 2008, and that was my first experience with that, and I remember it vividly. Sam was a good dog, and, he, you know, I was very lucky to get him off the BERT and be able to hunt him for the next 6 years. Dog was under a lot of bear, and he was under a lot of bear for a lot of people, me and Rodney and Anthony. This one's for Sam. Like, he was a good dog for the 6 years that I had him. And, you know, I look back at some of this stuff, and I think to myself, like, how did I end up with these dogs? Like, you know, like today, you know, I'm strategically breeding, and I'm way smarter on the training and handling aspect of dogs than I was back then. Back then, I didn't know nothing. I just took them hunting. I did put a lot of boot leather in, like I did. And I don't do as much of it now, but it's because I hunt a little smarter, not harder. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm able to compensate for my knowledge. But these dogs that I had ended up being really, really nice dogs. And I don't know what I did to deserve it, because, you know, now I feel like I'm striving to get back to that quality of dog. And yes, I've got some nice dogs. You know, they're not world beaters. But I've got some decent dogs. I mean, a couple. I don't have a whole yard full of them. But I always like those dogs. And we go back to the Frosties and the Rings and the Bells, the Smokies, the Sams, the Cannons. Like those dogs set a precedence for me. They set a standard. And even though I catch bear now, the population's different. We can go down that whole rabbit hole we want. But this is what I'm striving to get back to. And I don't even know how I got there to start with. I don't. I was just very lucky, I guess, because I didn't know what I was doing. They were dogs that I had. It wasn't like I could, you know, hunt it. If I didn't like it, get rid of it and find another one. Like, I didn't have the money. This is what you got. This is what you hunt. And you make it work. And I think maybe that mentality helps things along, too. Like, this is what you get, you know. We can go back into like Bell, you know, being 2 years old and running jump through the next zip code, man. I just didn't have a choice. I kept hunting her. Same thing with Ring. Ring slick train fool at one point in time in his career. People told me I'd get rid of him. Like, I wouldn't keep that dog. And I just kept hunting. And the problem cured itself. Heath didn't fix it. It cured itself. So, anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll catch you on the next What's Up Wednesday.
Crack of dawn, trucks gassed and loaded, collars charged and the GPS coded. Hounds in the box, tail starting to thump. They know that ridge, they feel that jump. Bear sign fresh on the mountain trail. You can smell the storm in the cool thin gale. Let them loose and watch them fly. That deep bay rings knit the open sky. I'm a bear hound man, born and bred. Chasing thunder where the brave don't tread. Through rock ravine and pine so tall. I trust them hounds. When the big ones fall, they run with fire, they run with pride, with grit and heart. I can't deny it, it ain't for fame, it ain't for show. It's the wild calling, and I go. Hit dirt where the claw marks stay. Old boar's moving and he won't play. Young dog's learning, old dog leads. Running with purpose, not just speed. Treetops shaking and the chase gets tight. You thank the Lord when they treat it right. One long howl from your cold-nosed crew. You know they earned it every boot step too. I'm a bear hound man, born and bred. Chasing thunder where the brave don't tread. Through rock ravine and pine so tall. I trust them hounds when the big ones fall. They run with fire. They run with pride. With grit and heart. I can't deny it ain't for fame. It ain't for show. It's the wild calling, and I go. Folks don't get it, but that's all right. It ain't their soul that howls at night. It's generations in each stride, and I'll pass it down with hounds at sight. I'm a bear hound man, born and bred. Carving legends where few have led. Through brush and snow, through heat and rain, that old bear trail runs in my veins. So here's to the pack who run the sound, standing firm when the bear turns round. We live out loud, we live full grown in the highway. where the black bear runs and the hound dogs roam. I'm a bear hound man.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.